Hi, this is Drew McManus. You're listening to an Inside the Arts podcast, available exclusively at insidethearts.com/podcasts. Welcome to Because Shut Up, That's Why, the music review podcast where a panel of guests listen to recordings and then offer comments. Panelists may agree or disagree, but if they ever feel like getting a discussion with another guest at any point, they can retort with the safety phrase, Because Shut Up, That's Why. Today's panel features a trio of musicians from the Lyric Opera of Chicago Orchestra. We have bassist Collins Trier, violist Frank Babbitt, and principal librarian John Rosencrantz, who is also the author of Inside the Arts' own Books on Culture blog. We'll be starting off this episode by listening to a pair of opera recordings, both of which were recorded in the early 1970s. But that's all the panelists get to know in advance. They won't be told who they are listening to until after they've had a chance to comment. As such, here's our first offering. We'll start off by waking up John and seeing what he thought of the piece. Any idea what it was?
Oh, not off the top of my head. And I'm sure someone loves it somewhere.
You didn't like the tenor.
I enjoyed what he was doing with it.
And obviously a live performance.
Obviously a live performance, yeah.
And from
it
the
1970s. It sounded like something like 20 years older, actually, as far as the recording quality goes.
And live in that point in time, that's probably as good as it was going to get as well, too. Any of the panelists know who?
It was definitely Domingo, a young Domingo from probably a live radio broadcast from Manon Lescaut, maybe from the Met Archives.
Boy, Frank Babbitt is really on. It's not the Met Archives, but it certainly is Plácido Domingo. This is one of his very early recorded performances in 1970. It was Act One from Manon Lescaut, featuring Plácido, recorded live in Verona with the orchestra and chorus of the Arena de Verona and released on the Opera de Orio label. Anyone have actual thoughts about the performance? Because it's obviously a very young Domingo.
To me it sounded, I could hear somebody told me that he had started as a baritone, And I thought it was interesting. It had a very baritonal quality, the voice. It sounded very dark to me. And then when he got up to the, you know, when he'd really go into the high register, it was very thrilling. He had a lot of presence, a lot of intensity in the sound. And, you know, young and ardent, I mean, that role is a killer, a tenor killer for singers. It's just very difficult. A lot of it's very, very high, and it's singing like that, you know, for 2.5 hours.
Collins, what do you think?
It was great. It's great. Yeah. But I thought he had a kind of a problem with that. That's why it must have tightened down later.
Yeah.
But no, the only thing I objected to was the recording quality, but otherwise it was fantastic.
Now, the next recording we're going to listen to is also from the early 1970s, but unlike the Domingo situation, this is now going to be an artist at the very end of her career. Any takers on who that was or what it was?
Well, it definitely wasn't Maria Callas. It wasn't Charles Sutherland. A major artist.
She was.
Her voice sounds really familiar. She sang.
According to at least the liner notes, she was coaxed out of retirement to make this recording. She was 60 years old.
Hmm. Well, Rossini?
It is Rossini, yeah. I mean, anyone actually want to take a guess as the...
No, I don't know the opera.
It was Rossini's Lady of the Lake, and it was also a 1970 recording, but unlike the Domingo recording we just listened to, this was a studio recording.
Yeah.
So the quality was a little bit better, but still, definitely.
That was a lot better.
Yeah, early 1970s. The soprano, and I'm hoping that having the opera folks here will help me with this name, Mostera...
Montserrat Caballé.
Perfect. And that's who it was.
She has sang.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she sang Violetta here and a lot of times. Actually, I think she sang Violetta with Domingo. I could be wrong about that. Yeah, she was known for her ability to hit a note and then to back away this unearthly pianissimo and hold it. So she had an amazing... facility and control, and that's a lot of color and tourist stuff that she was doing. Very, a lot of agility.
But amazingly accurate.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
A very dark, you're talking about dark quality.
Yeah.
This was a very dark quality as well, too. It was just absolutely enjoyable.
So she can sing something like that and also do a Violetta to knock your socks off.
Wow. How about the actual orchestra? What do you have as far as thoughts about the playing? Could you hear much, or were you paying attention to that?
I didn't hear much. I mean, there's not much going on.
There isn't, and because of the quality we have just to work with playback, you don't get that nice, tight headphone quality. But it's interesting, because there's a couple of points, if you have the volume cranked up, you're hearing string players pop in and arrest.
here and there. So it was, even though it's a studio recording, it wasn't obviously anything they had a patch session with later. So it was... Yeah.
Where was it done again?
It was actually recorded, the orchestra was the RAI, Symphony Orchestra and Chorus, and it was also on the Opera de Orio label. And I don't have any information about actually where it was recorded, just that it was a studio recording from 1970.
The magic was coaxing her out of retirement to do it.
Coaxing her out of retirement.
This is a singer in the bel canto, you know, tradition, the Callas Cavalli, you know, Sutherland lineage, somebody who could sing a Violetta, but it could also do a Rosina or something, you know, Donizetti, the, you know, the bel canto stuff, and nail the coloratura stuff, and have enough heft for the really dramatic stuff. So, I mean, she had a major, major career for a while, but she, there was also, the joke about her was that her manager would put out a notice and saying that Miss Cavalier's available for a limited number of cancellations this season.
So book her now.
Book her now.
Early. Early. Well, it was definitely interesting to hear two recordings in the same year from artists at just hyper ends of the spectrum from where they were starting in their careers. And now Placido's at the end of his. More than 30 years.
But the same qualities in both performances. You know, just incredible command and commitment. Something's exciting is happening. I mean, these people are really, you know, in a league of their own.
Well, we've saved probably the most special recording we have for last. This is something that is truly unique and one of a kind that you really have to listen to believe. And that's probably the best way that that can be put.
I wrote a blazing saddle. He wore a shining star. His job to offer battle to bad men near and far. He conquered fear and he conquered hate. He turned dark night into day. He made his blazing saddle a torch to light the way.
Hey. So who told the singer that this was supposed to be serious music? That would be like me playing jazz. Some things are just not going to happen. Sound like Leonard Nimoy.
Leonard Nimoy, yeah, on
Leonard
steroids.
Nimoy,
oh, this was serious stuff. This wasn't in Blazing Saddles, was it?
Yes.
The this is
song.
The theme
that,
to Blazing Saddles. Not
that
version, no.
The movie was sung by Frankie Lane.
Yeah. And that was fun. That was,
and that was
supposed
yeah,
to be.
Because he recorded some Western songs in the 40s that, you know, it was.
This is from a 4-CD set. Count them.
You want to order right
4,
away.
4, right away. Because they're going to run out soon. And this was, of course, the theme from Blazing Saddles, but it comes from that 4-CD set that is entitled The Magnificent Western, recorded by the City of Prague Philharmonic Orchestra and Chorus. I'm not going to embarrass the singer by mentioning his name.
It's got to be David Hasselhoff.
It might have been a little bit better.
It was kind of Robert Goulet-esque. You know, it had a, you know, kind of a musical theater, kind of, you know, knew how to get up and down, and it was pretty even. And
well, Collins, just, who did you think it was earlier?
Jim Neighbors.
I think that would have been probably the closest target right there. It's definitely a Jim Neighbors thing. And this is only the kind of rendition that you could find on a 4-CD set of American Westerns.
Well, I'm still waiting for Jim, the Jim Neighbors Votan. You know, that's something that we're all looking forward to.
Golly!
This episode of Because Shut Up, That's Why was originally recorded on April 9th, 2008 and produced and engineered by Jason Heath and Drew McManus. I'd like to thank our guest panelists, all members of the Lyric Opera Chicago Orchestra, bassist Collins Trier, violist Frank Babbitt, and principal librarian John Rosencrantz, who is also the author of Inside the Art's own Books on Culture blog. Our theme music is Tight Sweater 1, Exposed Zipper by Mark Mellitz, and recorded by Real Quiet on the Endeavor Classics label. The album is available for download at iTunes or Amazon.com. Thanks to iotapromonet.com, you can listen to the entire track from most of today's offerings at our homepage at insidethearts.com/podcasts. I'm Drew McManus. Thanks for listening.